week, we talked out of Matthew 25, basically. And we went a little farther than that, Matthew 24 and through 26, actually. But 25 is this main piece that Jesus gives us that he wants to tell us and make sure we understand right before he dies. So we're 2 days before that. And right there, he gives us these three incredible parables about being ready. And the second of those parables, and the second and third, the first one is just basically make sure that you take care of being ready. The second one deals with this. Here is what you have to be ready with. And the third one deals with what you have to be ready with, what I'm giving you to be ready with, here is who you use it for. So, what we have in the second one, and I want to go to that second one and let you see something this morning that's really important. That second one deals with this. There was this man that went away on a long trip, and when he left three of his servants these gifts. And these gifts were in the form of money. Talents, but if that's a form of money at that point. So he left the first one $5,000, the second one $2,000, the third one $1,000. And when he did that, he went away. And two of them took what he gave them and invested it in different ways. But when he came back at a time they didn't know, he said to them, "What did you do?" And they brought to him what they had done. So the first one had doubled his, the second one had doubled his, the third one had hit his in the ground, and the master wasn't at all happy with him. He was cast into outer darkness. But the first two were blessed and benefited with more honor and with given more and were put over more for their master's sake, for the kingdom of God. Now, that's huge. And then the third piece of that is the sheep and the goats piece. And Jesus says, when you have these gifts, I want you to use them for those that are the least of these, because when you do that, you're doing it for me. And you get a return on your investment that's very important for the kingdom of God. Now, the question I didn't get to last week that I want to get to this week is, how do you think that impacted the early church? It is really very clear how it impacted the early church, but we've lost those links. We've lost those links often, and we don't really hear them. Now, let me just give you this. Remember when I'm doing this, that Jesus had taught them something that became very important to them. It's this whole piece about what it is that wraps up everything, and it's the piece that comes across this way in what's known as the Golden Rule. So when you're doing something, you want to know what to do. Do to others just exactly what you would have them do to you, and then you can know that you're doing something that's useful. Because if it would bring value to you or bring honor to you or something that you would enjoy or like, then do that for others. So you have that in the background. So Jesus went away on a long trip. He went away on a long trip. He's coming back. And that's exactly how the early church saw it. And he made it really clear to them that they wouldn't know when that was, that he was coming back. The only one that knew that was the Father himself, not even the Son. So he was coming back. So how did that impact the early church? Here's how it impacted them. And it was interesting because it went through every aspect in every area. They realized this: we are it. We are the ones he has given the gifts to. So that's the first thing that was vital. And so you read that all the way through in the New Testament. I'm going to take you to a bunch of passages in just a few moments. But catch this. We are it. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his eyes. We are his ears. What he has to give, he gives through us. So when he gives to the world now, he's gone away. He's preparing a place for us. But what he gives to the world, he gives through us. And that permeated the early church. We are designed by him to be carriers of his spirit, representing who he is. And note this piece, we are designed by him to be carriers of his spirit, because we have belittled, we have made small the work of the Holy Spirit. The early church saw the work of the Holy Spirit as this grand, immense thing that was absolutely phenomenal, that simply said, we are the carriers of his spirit. And as he fills us with his spirit, we will act in a way that represents him in this world in such a way that people will fall in love with him. So we are designed by him to be the carriers of his spirit, representing who he is to our families, our neighbors, our communities, and our world. Now, the works we are designed to do, follow this. Again, I'm going to take you through, and then we're going to go quickly through some things here. The works we are designed to do were designed into us and can be described. Now, before I go into they can be described, I want you to know that I grew up without this verse. I grew up without this verse. I grew up with the two verses right before it. And I do not understand that. Sometimes it really bothers me what I grew up with. Does that bother anybody else here that was in the church all your life? It bothers me sometimes, because I grew up with the verse that made us exclusive. And the first two verses, and here's what they are. You will recognize them. And this is what they say: for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I heard that verse, I memorized it, those two verses, that's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, by the way. And that's, and I heard it this way: you can't get to heaven by works. How many have heard it that way? How many were taught it that way? You can't get to heaven by works? This is, you are saved by faith, by the grace of God, and your faith in God. Okay? And it became this exclusive thing to tell people, this is how you get saved. How many know that if you see a passage and then the next word is for or because, then you just read something that was there so that you could learn the next part? You know what the next verse starts with? For. And here's what it says: for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's the important part in that. God saves us. He comes as a human being. God steps into this world. He saves us. He loves us. He cares about us. He, by grace, just simply says, believe me. I am here for you, and I have come to save you. And it doesn't matter who you are, because it isn't something you've done good, but I've done it for this purpose. So that, Walter Bear, you will pass it on. That's what he's saying. For, I did this for you. For you were designed before you were ever born to do very specific, wonderful works. I love this. You were created in Christ Jesus. That's the faith piece, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And that piece began to permeate this whole culture in the church, that we were designed by him to be carriers of his spirit. And the works we were designed, that we were designed to do and were designed into us, they were things that were described and can be described with words like gifts or giftings or strengths or talents or skills. They're the pieces that come out of your personality, your temperament, your calling, just who God made you to be, what you're passionate about. Do you know what the passion of my heart is? I sat down one morning several years ago, as I was weeping through some things in that early morning, as can happen, and I just wrote on a piece of paper the passion of my heart. And when I finished writing it in those few moments, it became what directs me and will continue to direct me the rest of my days. It is this. And you will hear why these passages are so important to me. The passion of my heart is every person investing what the Master has uniquely left them in a manner that brings about returns for his kingdom. That's became a mantra for the early church. Every person expressing who God is uniquely with the gifts that God had given them. That's what the church took out of it. You are God's means of expressing himself. That's why Jesus saved us, so that he could be expressed in this world. It'll be carried on and passed on. I'm convinced that when we express God through who we are, that it'll pass on to others who will in turn express God by who they are. And it moves this way. This is evangelism. What do our families and our neighbors and our communities and the world think of God because of us? Evangelism isn't telling people that they need to get right with God. Did you hear me? We grew up with that, didn't we? That evangelism was telling people about Jesus. It's not that that isn't a piece of it, because it can't help but be a piece of it. But it's a piece of it. We lost it. So what happened is we did things like go around and knock on doors and tell people they needed to get right with God. I was told that you're supposed to get, you know, find every Catholic you possibly can and get them saved. Every Mormon, every Jehovah's Witness, every Lutheran except for a few of those conservative ones. Most of the Methodists, unless they were really old-time Methodists. Presbyterians, they need to get saved. Yeah. I grew up in a really good church early on. I think I experienced some of that later on more. Church I was in really early on was phenomenal. That was the church by the side of the road. It didn't quite do it that way. But I want you to see this. This is evangelism. Not telling people that they need to get right with God, but representing who he is by investing what he's given us. Did you catch that? Representing who he is by investing what he's given us. And will it create opportunities? Will people ask about the hope that is within us? And will people want to know what makes us love that way? And will there be opportunities to, with tears in your eyes, share the love of Jesus Christ with them? There isn't any better way for it to happen. So the early church took what Jesus said and looked at themselves and said, what has he given us? So now you hear all of these pieces in the New Testament. In his grace, this is Romans, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the gift to preach and to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If your gift is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. That's what Paul says to the Romans. Now, when you talk to the Corinthians, he says it this way, I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts He has given you. Now that you belong to Jesus Christ, now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of Christ. You'll notice something in the New Testament. After Jesus taught these things, they constantly linked this to this is what we do until he comes back. That's a really interesting thing. So we do it until his return. So that link is always in there. Now, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Listen to this in Ephesians. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And this one, Paul lists the gifts, and I want you these special gifts that were given to the church, not just to the world itself, but to the church. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. And don't think these were paid gifts. We need to get this separated out, okay? These are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. And notice what they're to do with their gifts. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And it's an incredible thing. When God gave gifts to the church, you know what the purpose of the gifts to the church was? To equip you to use your gift. Get out there in the world and use your gift. That's what it is. The church took these pieces that Jesus had given them, and they integrated them so thoroughly that they couldn't separate it out. Each individual was looked at with honor. It was looked at with, what's your gift? Hands were laid on them. They were prayed over that their gift would be revealed. It's so fascinating to watch this in the church. And the author of Hebrews, and God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. I love it. Now, and so Brenda read this passage to the kids. Listen to it again. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. The most amazing thing is that God knew that if he passed on Jesus to a world, Jesus was going to come and live and die in a 33-year time period. Has it impacted you? Yeah. God had one purpose in it. One purpose. Save the world. How was it going to happen? His life and his death was going to impact you. And your life and what you're willing to die for was going to impact somebody. And can I tell you that I'm not a Christian today because somebody gave me a message with their mouth. I'm a Christian today with a passion to live this way because of people like Frank McAllister, who was my pastor as a little boy. People like Holmesy, I don't know his first name, but he was Holmesy to me, that you've heard the story of, many of you. The janitor in the old church where my mother went to Bible school and took care of me when I was 5 and 6 years old while my mother was there, who to this day, God looks like that man in my life. God looks like that man. That's the last part. To the least of these is who you give this, whoever is in need of it. Because when we are at our least and when we're in need, that's when God steps in, takes care of it. And how does he step in? Do you know what? God's name is Simon at times. Or Jacob. Or Rachel. Pretty cool, isn't it? God's name is that. Because somebody's going to see God. And his name's going to be Simon or Jacob or Rachel. Because they need you to step in and pass on what God has passed on to us in Jesus. And he's going to do it through your special gifts, each one of us. Wow. I got to quit. I'm still passing on after 22 years what I want to leave with you. And will, till I'm done. Love all of you. You know what? The worst